invite you now to hear the gospel lesson, which comes to us today from the 10th chapter of Mark's gospel, beginning with the 17th verse. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astonished and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." May the Lord our God bless these words to our hearing and to our living. Amen.
Story told about a man who loved gold. And he came into an inheritance, great fortune. And the first thing he did was to remodel his bedroom. Why? He had golden curtains, and he had gold parchment wallpaper, and a gold rug. He even had gold sheets and a gold comforter. And you know what? He even bought gold pajamas. Well, one day, unfortunately, this man became ill. And he caught, of all things, yellow jaundice. His wife called the doctor, and the doctor came and made house call. And the doctor went to the bedroom where the man was laying in his bed. And he was up there for quite some time, and the wife was getting very worried about that. And so she said to the doctor when he finally came down, "Is everything okay?" And he said, "I couldn't find him. With all that yellow in the room and his yellow pajamas and his yellow jaundice, they couldn't find him. It seems like he was absorbed by his possession, or by he was perhaps possessed by his possessions." There's another story told about a man and a woman who happened to be sitting next to each other in an airplane. And this woman had a really big diamond ring on. And so this man, who was a diamond expert, said to her, "Why, that's quite the ring." And she said, "Yes, it's the Clobberman ring. It's a gem. It's one of the. It's the second biggest diamond in the world. And he looked at it and he admired it. And she said, "You know, but it's got a curse." And he asked her, "Well, what's the curse, Mr. Clobberman?" Want me to try that again? Okay. But the issue is that here we have two stories about people and their possessions and how they are possessed in one way or another by those possessions. They're stories about stuff. Well, this morning's gospel lesson is also a story about stuff. You see, this young rich young man that Pastor Linda read about comes to Jesus, kneels before him to show homage and respect. And he asks Jesus, "How can I enter into the kingdom of God?" And Jesus said, "Okay, well, first you got to keep the commandments." And the young man says, "Sure, done that ever since I was a child. Kept the commandments." Okay, so now he says, the next thing you need to do, Jesus tells him, is you need to sell everything you have. You need to give that to the poor, and then you need to come and follow me. And this young rich man was definitely. And he walks away, for he is so disheartened because he is possessed by his possessions. So Jesus seizes upon this now as a teachable moment. He turns to his disciples and says to them, you know, what should be done? How is it that we must deal with the things that we have? How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter into the kingdom of God, Jesus asks and proclaims. How many of us, for this were the past, really harsh, when then Jesus says, it'll be more difficult than a camel to pass through, it would be easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one to give up their possessions and follow Jesus. So the disciples said, now wait a minute, that means who can be saved? I mean, the wealthy are looked upon as those who are successful, and they're probably the ones that are going to enter in the kingdom of God. And if they can't do that, how can we, thus me, who are always struggling to survive and to know where our next meal may be coming from, how is it that we would be worthy to enter into the kingdom of God? And Jesus says, well, for humans, it's impossible. But for God, all things are possible. Now remember, this young rich man was a good man. And he did good things. And he followed the commandments. And he loved his neighbor. And he wanted to enter into the kingdom of God, but he couldn't get possessions. Because Jesus offers him freedom and focus and direction. Freedom from his possessions, focus on God and life service, and direction. Come and follow me. Frank Zeffirelli's beautiful film, Brother Sun and Sister Moon, there's a scene at the turning point of the story comes when Francis of Assisi, born and raised in a wealthy and privileged, very religious family as well, stands before the entire town, including the local bishop and his parents, and strips off his clothes and walks off into the mountains to live among the poor as a beggar. Francis is responding to a call that has troubled him since he returned from a war, ill and with fever. It was a war between two petty lords. And his life before the war no longer made any sense. And he feels his soul being pulled toward a different way of living, a radical giving up of everything that would have been easily his. A turning away from the comfortable path that has been laid out before him. Francis was not just ill, he was hungry and thirsty and lost. His conversion experience came in the midst of suffering and uncertainty. Now, what Jesus is asking and the way in which St. Francis responds to the calling is extreme. And for most of us, we certainly hope that Jesus is not asking us to sell everything we have and live on the streets among the poor and the outcasts. If nothing else, this passage is about attitude. Attitude that leads to discipleship. The attitude of the rich young man who is following some sense of seeking otherness, fulfillment. Yet an attitude about his life and his possessions has him bound to what he is. An attitude that makes it seem impossible to do what Jesus asks. Then there is the attitude of the disciples, who say it is impossible for anyone to enter into the kingdom. The people, they will all know, are either wealthy or poor, and the poor are trying to gain some wealth. The attitude of Jesus is that for humans, it is impossible to make this radical change in life. But through God, all things are possible. Through God, we can overcome the bondage of what we have. Through God, we can be freed from the fears of losing what we have. Not just what we can accumulate, but what we have. Through God, we can sharpen our focus on the work Jesus has for us. And through God, we can live a life whose focus is founded on faith in that God rather than reliance on our own abilities and actions. Through God, we can whose focus is founded on faith in that God rather than the reliance of our own abilities and actions. Now, I do not believe that for us in the 21st century, we are being asked to sell everything and give everything away. We have worked hard for what we have, and what we have should be seen as a blessing. But we are called to a freedom from being possessed by our possessions. We are called to a place of thanksgiving, a place of commitment, a place of discipleship. Let me say again, the rich young man was a good man. He was faithful and he was generous. He was hungry, looking for something more than wealth, more than stuff. Yet his attitude about his possessions, his place of privilege, kept him from doing what Jesus asked. His possessions possessed him. His place in life possessed him. His privilege possessed him. We are good and faithful people. Relative to the world, we are a people of abundance. We are a people of possessions. We are a people of privilege. Unto themselves, nothing is wrong with any of that depending on our attitude. Does our attitude allow us to understand that what we have is a blessing? Does our attitude allow us to be possessed by our possessions? Or does our attitude prevent us from, and does our attitude following the call of Jesus? The young rich ruler asked Jesus how he could enter the kingdom of God, and Jesus answered his question. The young ruler was devastated, and Jesus explained to his disciples that through God all things are possible. So what does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? Certainly feed the hungry, tend the sick, free the captives, fight against injustice, overcome oppression, lobby for peace, be for victims, prevent the violence, stop the violence, bring about peace. It also means to be good stewards of what God has given us. To be a good steward as mean to care for the gifts God has given us, to grow and enhance our talents, to manage our time, to cultivate our wealth. To be a good steward also pertains to how we use our gifts. We are to use our gifts for the good of others. We are to use our gifts to improve the world in which we live. And so it is with the church. In our conversations during the last couple of months, there has been discussion about how the church needs to utilize its assets. Our building is an asset. How best do we utilize it? How do we best utilize our financial assets? How can we use our building for ministry that is not just on Sunday mornings? How should we purpose our financial assets? Has God gifted us in such ways to perpetuate our physical footprint and congregational existence? Or is there more to be done? It all seems overwhelming at times. And Jesus' answer to us is, through God, all things are possible. Can we be open to that kind of life? Can we be open to that calling? Can we discern individually and as a community of faith to respond to the calling to follow Jesus? Can we take up the call to discipleship? Of course. For through God, all things are possible. Amen.